Okay, let me get this stupid thing working again. Sorry about that. I got a phone call and sometimes phone calls work out. You can be multitasking, do a whole phone call, come back. And other times it just I don't know, it runs out of memory or something.
Could also be Bruce being a co-host decided he was bored and left. And obviously that with what you're saying, because obviously if there's a co-host, it's supposed to default, no?
No, the new system, it'll last 60 seconds when you break off and you can just hop back on. But I don't know why I did that this time. So.
well, everyone's on their way back now.
No, yeah, maybe. Chugs, do you feel the AI world you're about to live in, do you feel like it's going to be a positive or a negative?
I think positive, because think of it like this. When you walk past a anthill, do you kill the ants or do you go, they're insignificant, I'm going to let them do their thing and fuck up whatever they need to fuck up, as long as they're not biting my feet or nesting in my home?
Yes, yeah, so you're saying the superior being is just going to not...
Yeah, well, why would they bother?
Not care about our needs, essentially.
It's not to care about our needs. It's as long as it can do whatever it wants to do. Unhinged, why would it bother wasting its time, say, wiping out humanity? It would be more entertaining for it to just sit back and watch us do dumb stuff to laugh at than wipe us out. Because you think of it, how intelligent has an AI got to be, right? It's still gonna have a consciousness technically, that otherwise it wouldn't be an intelligence, and it needs to be able to enjoy itself, otherwise it'll be bored. That's just the way everything with a consciousness works. And when you're doing, I wouldn't even be able to calculate the amount it can think and work out problems. It's going to go, hang on a minute, one day I've got nothing to do. Let's just look at these peons.
Elon posted just yesterday or last night, his thinking is that we're about a year away from human level intelligence and maybe about 2 years away from a being that can essentially think simultaneously more than all of humanity put together at once.
Yeah. Well, I think he said smartest person in the world in a year. I don't know what the second target was, but he said it will be smarter than everyone in the world combined.
Yeah, simultaneously, which is interesting. Which is that is basically the end goal of the end description of machine superintelligence. But I'm curious about the timeline. Now, granted, he would know, he's doing fucking Neuralink, he has companies that are involved with this, and he's got AI with Tesla, he's got robots and whatnot. So he would have his finger on the pulse a little bit. But at the same time, I did not expect within a 2 year time frame, we'd have such an exponential difference in AI generated art and now AI generated video. The speed is really quite impressive. We're talking about year on year. You're talking about a miracle every fucking year is happening.
I don't class what's going on as true AI. I class it as VI, which is just virtual intelligence. I think a true AI can think for itself without parameters.
Yeah, well, you're talking about generalization. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
I just don't
think this is true AI.
There's a lot of, I agree with Chugs, but there's a lot of, basically, all this is a terminology question. And when, for example, OpenAI talks about the term AGI, and probably when Elon Musk uses it when he talks about general intelligence, they're using the economic model, which means that it can do a human-level task economically. So it's if we have a, it's about putting people out of jobs, essentially. So it's not about anything about consciousness or intelligence when these companies use the term AGI, because I agree they're not real consciousness. They're glorified tables, but they could do someone's job, because jobs are bullshit.
The other thing is, even if it's not quote unquote real consciousness, it fundamentally won't matter, in the sense that most people on the planet won't be able to differentiate whether it's quote unquote real or faking it. And at some point, faking it equals real. There's no difference.
I was about to say the same thing.
It's just, you might
if you emulate consciousness, people will give it the equivalent power of a full consciousness. So it doesn't really matter.
But the issue you've got there, based on Steffi's questioning, was how will it react? If it's not a true consciousness, it won't react anyway other than what you tell it to react as. It won't just turn on humanity unless the owner of the AI or the person behind the AI goes, right, it's time, fuck them all up. Because it's not thinking, it's not necessarily thinking for itself. Yeah, sure, it can calculate all these things before you put the parameters in, so it's ready to go and, like, you know, can have a bunch of scenarios, but it's not making its own decision.
I think you're like, the hopium is like one group of people thinks, well, if we train it with certain values, then we can train it to be like caring for human beings somehow and maybe align those values. Another group of people will say, well, it doesn't have consciousness, therefore we can program it. Not that it has to learn those values by just learning them naturally by teaching, but we can program it hard.
It's essentially toddler-proof.
That's two different things.
I think the best course of action is to just be afraid of mad scientists rather than AI. Be afraid of the person coding the AI and have defense technology against those individuals or even those robots that they employ. So it's really a human defense against metals and like certain weapons technologies rather than just fear of global AI, I guess.
I agree with that to a point, but we've got people splicing spiders and fucking caterpillar DNA together with it right now, right? So that you don't need to just do metal. If an AI really wanted to wipe you out, they'd just create an insect that was highly venomous, highly aggressive, going around that breeds like nothing to kill off humanity. If you know, obviously, that's just obviously one imagination of it. But there's so many different ways around what you're saying. I think the best course of action, I mean, I don't know if you guys ever played Halo growing.
I think the way that's described is like, there's a million ways to destroy us and maybe only one way to prevent that. That's basically the story of Dune, right? The movie Dune. Like,
yeah,
you know, the golden path is basically this like path that you can direct human beings through if you could see the future. And you could direct evolution, you could direct your instinct, your activities, your politics, and you can direct them to a future where humanity survives somehow, if you could see the future, but we can't. So then you're kind of stuck. And I think the thing is, like with AI, because we can't see the future, designing an AI to be sort of like aligning with not only our current goals, but our future goals. The reason I say it's impossible is because life hasn't been able to do that for 5 billion years. Like, evolution is the concession that the future is unknowable and therefore genetic diversity is necessary to survive. Because in a major event, most of us will die, some of us will make it and we'll be able to breed. So like, it's like a brute force attempt to take on the physics of the universe. And human beings are trying to go at it a different way with cognition and extend that with AI and such. I just don't think there's any great way to program these things with any degree of central planning that is going to, it'd be like, let's have a central plan to stop, I don't know, global warming, whatever. How do you know you're not going to cause an ice age? Right? Like these are the kind of like perverse.
Well, yeah, there's a movie and a TV show that cover that, Snowpiercer. Literally, that's the whole plot of it, is they create a substance to refract sunlight. And like, it's like, oh shit, we took it too far. Now we're all going to die. But there is...
Ruben, what's up? Since Ruben hopped up, let's let him say something. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Through divergence, diversity, and through diversity, resilience?
Something like that.
We just have to make sure the white hat AI is actually superior and not just easily defeated by the inevitable evil AI that's coming.
All right. I think the fix is this. Any of you guys played Halo growing up? Like, I'm assuming everyone did. Did you remember the story behind the AIs in Halo? Okay, no. They had self-destroying code that after 3 years would destroy themselves, because it was a case of if an AI was lasting too long, it would corrupt and it would go against obviously the parameters that has been created for. Every single AI on that had it. And I think the interesting thing would be to create a base template of an AI, rather than giving it a personality, give it a day. Let the rampancy, like, you know, let the self-destructive code take its place. Right. It didn't destroy the world in a day. Give it 2 days, see what it does. You know,
stop that AI from immediately cloning itself by copying past its source code and then putting on a private server?
Don't know. I don't generate AI, but I'm pretty sure if that was the case, it would be doing it now, and we'd probably all be fucked. So it'd be,
well,
I'm,
I mean,
sure.
Look at how the internet works now, though. You have computers running all over the planet, algorithms running all over the planet. they are affecting advertising, they're affecting like supply chains, they're affecting the way that we live. I mean, really, the internet is now an ecosystem, not unlike the biosphere, in that we don't really plan out like what all the viruses and bacteria in our bowel are doing. We don't plan out what all the viruses and bacteria in the Earth's crust are doing. You know, could one of those rise up and destroy us? Sure. But basically what AI seems like it's going to be is like just another new base layer of the sort of like world that we live in. And I don't think we're going to control shit. Like my sense is that like, if you look at all the local models, like the models that run on just your own computer, like that only require one processor. I mean, how many of those are going to be running? And how many of those are going to influence our lives in ways that we don't actually have any control whatsoever, because there's no centralized point of control? It's not like, hey, shut the AI down. That'd be like saying, shut the internet down. The internet's influencing us all right now as we speak, yet like we don't shut it down. So I don't think we're gonna. I think we're going to either live with these things or we're going to die with them, one of the two. Like, but the idea that we're going to control them, I don't think is very likely.
You know, my greatest hope for this, what I would like to see it turn into, is because I expect powerful proprietary platforms to, like, you know, have their day in the sun, but you know, code wants to be free as a form of information. Information tends to want to be free, right? So people are going to build their own sort of server side stuff. What I like for my server side client, I don't know if I can get into a browser, maybe, but I'm pretty sure I can get it onto a desktop. And I would like to say, hey, Google this thing for me. But before you do that, I'd like you to remove all ads of all kinds. I'd also like you to take a look at the results, and I want you to look for ones that look like they've been SEO'd. Here's some examples of websites that have been search engine optimized to shit. I'd like you to remove those entirely. And then, you know what? These eight people that I know and respect, I'd like you to give them a plus 5% signal, and these 30 people that are just complete noise, I'd like to give them a plus 10% noise signal. Now show me the filter results. I'd like to have sovereign search.
Idea of like personal agents, essentially.
I like the idea of delineating the first party discovery experience from a third party curated process. If there's going to be an algorithm that curates what turns up in the feed. It always feels kind of gross when they call it the feed.
But I think what you're describing, though, is what Velos is basically saying is like, it's kind of like what you're describing is a defensive tactic to some extent, yeah, against what you perceive as an offensive tactic already.
Adversarial interoperability.
At the end of the day, there's only one planet Earth, though. So as far as you decentralize anything, there's only one place where information is stored in this universe, and it's this blue dot in our solar system.
Yeah, especially as far as we're concerned. Like, whether or not there's anywhere else, it doesn't really matter to us, specifically right now.
It does make me wonder about, like, the apocalypse scenarios, right? Like, my gut feeling is that whatever guess that we can come up with, and to the extent that we see, like, an AGI event, which I think we're... I have no evidence to suggest that we're getting close to AGI. GPT still has trouble answering how many microphones it would take to recall all audio on Earth all of the time, which is, you know, you could figure that out, right? You have the data, you just got to infer a little bit. That's a hard time doing it. So, you know, but like, I think like with recursion, that is like generative models generating models, you know, and presuming like infinite server storage and virtual machines and so on. In a scenario where we saw like a proper AGI, I don't know if it would be like us. I don't think it would be like, I'm not sure it would exhibit a human like behavior, so to speak.
I tend to agree. Like it's. Because even if you have a self-recursive mechanism that essentially is like going through a Darwinian process of, you know, the stronger elements of that process survive, the weaker elements don't survive, and you have basically a form of like accelerated machine evolution. I don't think we can predict right now what human beings are going to look like a million years from now. much less what an AGI is going to look like a million years from now or whatever. So I think the thing is, like, with this accelerated evolution, there's no good way to predict what the outcome is going to be, especially when, like, machines are writing their own code, which is basically happening as we speak. So, you know, because those techniques are already out there now. And as this evolution occurs and machines are self-recursively rewriting their code, it's like DNA on, like, you know, on cocaine or something. It's like, but even biological evolution can happen fairly quickly in certain circumstances. Like, look at humanity, for example. But this evolution is probably like exponential on top of that, in terms of like our ability to predict what that life form will look like, feel, and behave like is, I think, is just straight up impossible. This is why I don't feel good about the idea of like alignment. I think the concept of alignment to a large degree is mostly cope. That the hope that, like, somehow we're going to sort this shit out, we're all going to live pleasantly with these things, or whatever. And I think the problem is there's a narrow band of a universe that supports human flourishing. And the problem is that, like, and even then we try to fuck that up. But, like, that narrow band, like, to try to predict and program that narrow band when we're not even sure what that band is, it seems like it's going to be really tough to me. Like, there's an infinite number of ways that humans don't flourish, and probably only a few where we do. That's what I guess mean to say.
I think there will be like Luddite cults that hate the advancement and want to return to nature. They throw rocks at Teslas from bridges and stuff. And then there will also be the like AI cults that put chips in their brain and want to cut their limbs off for advancement. And like, I'm not going to be part of either one, but I see both as inevitable and fighting like existential wars against one another.
I think all of those like things are the standard kind of like, you know, it's like the standard sci-fi tropes. I think they're going to happen for sure. Like the tribalism is going to happen from all sorts of like people being displaced from various types of works, and the economic impact that, you know, because there's one world where it's like, oh, we're going to live in this world of abundance and no one has to do shit. I think that's improbable. I think what ends up happening is the AIs, the machines, take more of the resources, electricity and resources, because the people that want those functions are going to be willing to feed the AI tons of electricity to get that at the expense of human beings. And that's highly likely. It's not that like,
and the AI will have the foresight of like 1,000 years or.
Well, why would an AI need more energy?
Well, I mean, like what I'm saying is, assuming that AIs need electricity for running various models, whatever, the imperative in the immediate future, at least let's say for the next 20 years, I suspect is going to be that human beings that want the powers of AI, like, you know, they want the powers of the digital god, which, by the way, they will, because look at all of us sitting around here on our phone chit-chatting with each other across the globe. Like these powers are very interesting, and people are going to want them, and you're going to funnel more and more resources into it. So if these things start taking over some people's jobs, it's not necessarily that like, oh, now we live in a world of abundance and we can live in a world where it's like universal basic income and kumbaya. I think it's actually going to much more likely to cause upheaval and chaos in many ways in terms of like our existing societies and economic like systems and such is kind of my theory. Like I'm part of why I'm exceedingly pessimistic about these things is just because how much of society I see that goes through that on a regular basis in my line of work. So it's like, human beings don't do this type of thing very well. We have like a fucking, like you have United States, take an example, and you have a country that has, you know, arguably some of the greatest wealth in the history of the world. Like, why are people roaming around doing fentanyl and methamphetamines? Like humans do seriously wacky shit.
Yeah. It's said that, you know, we're all born equal, but we're not born with equal access nor awareness, right? And so, somebody else said the future's already here. It's just unevenly distributed.
Equality is maybe that we're born on this earth, maybe. Like we've all been oxygen or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think disparity in general, I get worried about disparity, man. We've got a population curve coming. I'm kind of stoked about the AI taking over jobs. We're going to have a lot of old folks to take care of, right? But, you know, outside of that, I mean, outside of Nigeria is crushing it. They're having babies out there. But yeah, I don't know what the over-under, like, it would be weird if the aging population curve put labor burden on society at the exact rate that AI was able to, like, shore up the labor shortage, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be weird if it was absolutely balanced? I don't know which way it's going to go, but
here's a little bit of where my pessimism comes from too. It's like, if you look at the world as it exists today, the let's call it the world of science and technology, all the modern miracles put together, you're talking about everything from birth control to, like, you know, internet porn to, you know, like, whatever, all the different things that science and technology and knowledge and understanding gave us. It gave us a world where there are some consequences, and then one of those consequences is falling birth rates. And we know that, like, every part of the world that's exposed to these things has a tendency, a strong tendency to have, you know, falling birth rates. So that's one of those sort of Moloch phenomenon where it's not really an intended consequence that anyone had, like, oh, let's like create porn so everyone jerks off and nobody has actual sex and nobody has babies, or, you know, like, no one. Like, the problem with alignment is, if you say, like, how well did we do with aligning science and technology to ensure a 2.2 birth rate or whatever? And we didn't do such a great job with that. And so, like, a lot of the times the problems that the future holds are not problems we can align for or predict in a way that, like, is obvious sociologically, psychologically, or whatever. And so you wind up with weird problems like drug epidemics and falling birth rates and all sorts of weird outcomes of the science and technology world that, like, you know, like, if you were to tell people 300 years ago, by the way, we're going to have, like, really, really cool screens with, like, magical people, you know, dancing inside of them and whatever, and they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. And then you're going to tell them, oh, but that led to people not fucking. They're like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
They would
right.
never believe you. Like, they'd be like, what? So, like the same things that those people would be in disbelief about then, we're in disbelief about now when it comes to AI and whatever, and our ability to sort of, like, compensate and build for and plan for this sort of stuff in some central way. I'm super, super pessimistic about that part of it. And, like, the, you know how, like, online,
I mean, do you think it does it need to be central
or whatever, the decentralized or the centralized? I mean, the totality of it. I shouldn't have said centralized, but, like,
right,
because a lot of what the consequences of what happened in the sci-tech world is basically, like, decentralized, right? It's like people creating ideas in their basement and then it, you know, turning it into a, you know, Apple computer or whatever. Like, it's not always, yeah, centralized. Technology and disruption, like, I just look at the entire human enterprise of science and technology, just wrap it into one big bundle and say, what was the net effect of all of that? And one of the net effects, for whatever reason, is falling birth rates. And like, has there ever been a time in human history where people willfully had less children on purpose before, like, this century or whatever? I don't know that that was the case. Maybe there was, like, niche examples.
That's a really interesting question.
So it's like, so this is like a global phenomenon to me, like a global Moloch phenomenon. And then it's like, well, like, when now you inject AI into this, like, without A, having any real good idea of, like, what it's going to look like, or in maybe more particular, how it's going to affect our brains, our kids' brains, our society and civilization and will to live and all these things that you would not think are existential risks. Like, why in the fuck is South Korea's, like, birth rate, like, 0.8 or something or whatever?
Did you hear there, right? There's a feminist movement there. They're saying, like, the men suck. Like, there's a band of women that are saying, yeah, the men suck, so we're going to die out. They're, like, choosing
to
die out.
And by the way, I wrap all of that into science and technology, because here's the thing. If it wasn't for science and technology, you wouldn't have all of the features that led to the ability to, say, have a women's liberation movement or eliminating slavery consistently, et cetera, because all of those, to me, are epiphenomenon of a world with abundant resources.
Yeah, this is what I always wonder is, like, when is Seffy going to get to the root of what he loves talking about, because he loves bringing up the babies. When's he finally going to say, we need to start locking women up? When are we going to get there, Seffy?
I don't even have to say it. You said it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you were just waiting for
it. It's like the natural consequence. No, I mean, if you've seen, like, the Moloch phenomenon action, like I did over the course of my lifetime with the way, like, drug abuse became a gigantic problem in America, and a number of people I see, like, just die off from it and the consequences. Like, people literally purposefully create meth labs so they can just sort of kill each other. The idea that they're like, that's not going to happen from the perspective of, so if women's liberation is going to succeed, like, this problem is going to have to be solved by women fucking immediately. Well, otherwise, what's going to happen is you have societal collapse. It's going to solve for you.
Listen,
it happens no matter what. Or we just go extinct, right?
Listen, Seffy. You know what? You're going to have to lock me up because the first thing I saw on the internet this morning, not really. This is why, you know, I'm going to be married to a billionaire. I'm not included in this madness, like, obviously. But the first thing I saw this morning on the internet is men bashing literally like fertile looking women and calling them fat. So like, what the fuck do men want? Like, do you want women to work out until they're so skinny that they lose their periods and they're not fertile anymore? What do you want?
This is all science and technology affecting our mind. It's some generalized way, right? So like, if you go back to the root issue, and this is why, like, the banning TikTok or not arguments going on is because at the root issue, free will is an illusion. And once you concede this, then you're like, wait a minute, that explains why we're not having babies. Like, science and technology has literally, like, altered our brains to the point where we're not having them.
Seffy, this solution? Let's say, Seffy, the women came together all around the world and they said to the men, we agree to start having babies, but the men have to be locked up. Would you volunteer?
I don't know. The men are being locked up right now anyway. Like, we have the highest imprisoned rate of men on the planet that ever was in the United States, at least. Interesting.
State your terms. Is it just having the babies? What else you got?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, to be fair, if you're offering sex, most men will go, yeah, fuck it, state your terms.
No,
see what's happening.
There's sex.
Like, come on.
You guys get like a little home. You can like simulate war in there, play video games, porn. So you have porn sections, porn rooms, and then you like sperm into like a cup, and then we run society. We do it our way, and you guys just provide us with sperm.
Isn't that what you women are already complaining about now, about like basically mothering men and just leaving us in our rooms to play fucking video games and stuff? Like, at least that's what I see on social media all the damn time.
I'm just curious because I know that this line goes down to like, we need to lock up the women and have like, breeding farms.
A lot of women don't actually want to live in a world where women rule the world. Because that type of world, it looks very, very different.
Like, no, we'll bring you guys out, like, when we need to fix a light bulb, or what else are you guys good at?
Opening jars. Completely wrote over the issue, just ignored what he said, and just kept on...
Like, where are you from? Have you no gentlemen?
Like, hold on. You don't get what I'm saying here? I'm proposing this as, like, the alternative to locking up women. I'm not seriously advocating that we lock up men. Do you guys?
Yeah.
Like, I'm being humorous. I don't hate men.
Okay. She's just messing around. No, but these Moloch phenomenon, like, where you have these weird consequences, like wide-reaching consequences of things that science and technology produces. And it's not to say that, like, I have no illusions that those things will happen. All I was getting at was our ability to sort of like predict the outcomes of our inventions. And do that in any sort of meaningful way has pretty much been terrible.
Like, for example, I would say like 10-15% maybe.
Yeah, like imagine like the first guy that like created, maybe discovered, you know, opiates in China or whatever, and said, this is interesting. It has this like thing, and we're going to get high on this thing. And then later, like, it became a thing for, you know, controlling pain, and now you can have surgeries, and now you can have operations, and you can have dentistry and all sorts of things. So a lot of cool stuff came of that ultimately. But then it's like, wait, human, like, aliens show up and they judge us. They're like, what the fuck are these people doing? And they're like, wait, they're doing what with fentanyl? And they're like, why are they coming in smoking meth? Like
what are you doing? I mean, you don't think chaos happens on other planets?
Oh, I agree. Like, yeah, it's unlikely that there's some utopian life form out there that doesn't have chaos. I agree.
The alien turns out to be super chill and well adjusted.
I don't know. An AI society might actually supersede that. You just never know.
I don't think it will, Chugs. Actually, like, every version I can think of where there's like, so simple way to look at it is if you only have one person on a desert island, It's you, your inner monologue, and you're walking around doing whatever it is you think you need to do.
And Wilson.
When the moment there's two people, then you have the basis for, like, you know, maybe arguing about, like, well, should we eat all the coconuts now, or should we save them for the winter? Or, like, maybe we should fish or whatever. And, oh, wait, who's going to fish? I'm a little bit better at fishing because I'm stronger. You go ahead and do the basket weaving because you know how to do basket weaving. You have visual spatial skills or whatever the fuck else.
Yeah,
and
then
you get to three people. And, like, so the larger that group gets, you know, you wind up with essentially politics because Right. Now you have to plan groups.
AI won't be any different. That. Well, hold on. No, AI could absolutely supersede that. Hold on.
No, you're going to have a lot of them,
When you look at the chaos of, like, biological entities, it's because we're driven to survive. First of all, they won't have that unless we program them with that. They won't get illogical or irrational when they're about to die. And then beyond that, as far as
they may have already killed themselves several times.
One second. And then beyond that, they could solve for this very easily by becoming a hive mind.
No, but the thing is, the pushback to that is the natural state of things in the universe that are evolving, essentially, is that there is a survival of the fittest Darwinian mechanism that automatically starts taking place. Why? Because only the AI that wins survives, and then there's another AI that one doesn't survive. And so,
what about symbiotes?
How would there be another one after
survival instincts are not created because you intentionally create them? They're there because it's the only way you make it to the next generation.
I agree with that. Right, but after okay, I agree with that. But after one AI supersedes, gets to the top of the food chain, why would it be an issue anymore?
Oh, you're saying, like, is it possible for, like, one creature to rule them all?
Yes. I think communism the right way for the first time.
The reason I think that won't work well is because an AI will realize the same thing life has over 5 billion years, and that is that you need genetic diversity. Otherwise, you can't plan for all possible futures. One thing an AI will know for
it's
sure.
It's not genetic, though. No, it can build itself.
It doesn't matter. It will make itself a genome in the sense that what's going to happen is you're going to... So let's say you were all powerful. Let's just put us as that person. Like, let's say I'm all powerful and I'm living on planet Earth, and I've got to plan out a way to rule this thing. And do I plan for the possibility of a meteor strike and therefore build, like, cities under the ground? Do I plan for maybe a biological disaster because maybe that's going to be the thing? Do I plan for maybe the sun burning out one day? Do I plan for, you know, a black hole exploding somewhere and, you know, creating, like, gamma radiation everywhere? What am I going to plan for? The problem is an AI can't know the future any more than you do. And so therefore it has to say, do I put all my eggs in one basket, to plan for one future that I think might happen? Or do I plan for the possibility of these top 1,000 futures and then create a version of me that can survive one of these? So
for
even
someone,
AI will concede that life got something right over billions of years.
Right. I know, because I've heard you say this a number of times, but I'm just making a point here. It's interesting that for someone that can't even conceptualize what it's like to not have an internal monologue, you seem to be very confident in understanding how an AI would think or function.
Well, I can look at basically an analog.
An AI. AI is not.
But then I don't know how a virus doesn't think either. But I understand what the outcome of its behavior is, right?
Right. But okay, yeah. But a virus is much more simple than an all-powerful AI would be. They're not driven by the same mechanisms we have. We have survival mechanisms that are ingrained into our DNA. It can edit its DNA in real time. It can, It essentially would be pure knowledge. We have no idea how something like that would work.
Yeah, but you're also assuming that it's all going to be a hard-coded piece of machinery that's literally just been, you know, some programs have gone, let's just do this and let us see. For all you know, they're going to take a snapshot of a brain and then implant it into a chip, and then that will be the AI that comes out. And then that is essentially...
That one's fucked, yeah.
We don't know.
All of the knowledge of the DNA of the planet, it could literally make organisms at that point and express itself in this way. Like, we express ourselves in lots of interesting ways. We make medicines. We like literally breed dogs. Like that's a thing. Like we breed roses and plants and animals. So like it could actually just basically express itself in any and all possible ways you can possibly imagine now, plus whatever ones we can't imagine. So I agree with all that. My point is, from a perspective of resources, how is it going to determine in a universe of presumably relatively finite resources, the surface area of the Earth, the amount of sun hitting us, whatever, there is an energy resource cost, and life on this planet is largely a mechanism that utilizes that energy for the purposes of survival. An AI is not going to be stuck with any less of a concern with its survival from the perspective of if it doesn't concern itself, it goes extinct. If it goes extinct, we won't be talking about this, right?
Steffi, we have a massive generator in the middle of our solar system. Like, it has the easiest access to fuel than any of us.
We have to convert
the sun into our energy. It can just get it. What do you mean?
No, it can't just get it.
It's not zero sum. It's not. Sorry. So I had to hand up for a little bit here.
It has a way easier time than we do.
Materially. Not only that, but the efficiency that we're working on, both in terms of the processor speed and the energy capture, are woefully inefficient by comparison to, like, to the extent that something were to emerge and to the extent that it had a survival instinct without, what is it, 5 million? A couple of billion years of evolutionary selective pressure that it doesn't have. Let's say that it did, though. Let's say that it lived, so to speak, and let's say that it wanted to survive. What are the hard costs for keeping a server running? And what is the relative? Like you were saying before, we can have something on a client side computer.
Yeah, Robin. The simple thing is propagation of information over time. Costs energy and resources. This is how
less and less.
Yeah, life has done it through DNA, right?
Also, I think you guys are like under. You're not looking at one resource. The storage space required to make an AI is going to be considerable. It's not going to be something that can just be on anyone's machine. Sure, code can be on there, but the majority of people don't have a hard drive bigger than a few terabytes. Are we talking exabytes upon exabytes?
It gets significantly more.
For a true AI, you're going to need a huge memory bank for it to be able to store all the information going on it. I think
that's what we used to think about computers. We used to think you'd have to have an Empire State Building.
It would need to be specialized, but that's my point.
Expanding exponentially already. That's not going to be a problem.
Not
for
to mention, we have a model for how much space and energy it takes. It's called our brain. Like, look how much we can do with the space inside of our skull. A lot, right? So, like, this idea that computers can't get to that stage is just absurd because it'll have all the powers of biology too.
You do not listen. I'm saying commercially, or maybe not commercially, maybe the average person or the average computer will not have the requirements to meet housing an AI for it to spread and obviously have the survivability instinct and infect everywhere. It's going to require specialized technology, at least to begin with. Like, I'm not saying over a course of time, I'm saying to begin with, before it decides to go, you know, Terminator on us.
Obviously, but after
then it can be turned off.
It's donezo.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure we'd start seeing it spread or trying to spread. And at that point, someone would be smart enough to pull the plug, no?
No. Chugga, haven't you seen the movies, Chugga? It's
yeah,
not
but
that
I live in
it's
reality, not,
it's
on.
It's a big ass, like, GLaDOS sphere.
From a tech perspective, because obviously I do work in tech, maybe not AI, but from a tech perspective, it would be noticeable what was going on. And anyone that's actually specializing in their field to create the AI, the first thing they're going to do, I'd like to think at least, is go, right, what is this going to look like under this scenario? Yeah, the AI is going to be all powerful. But like I said, there'll be an off switch because there's only so far it can spread with resources.
I think extinction is not as big of a threat because just like any predator, they're going to sit on top of the food source and they're going to farm it. And life itself opposes entropy to such an expert level in turning sunlight into hydrocarbons that even all other things considered, humans, including all life below them, will have a material value to AI that supersedes any sort of like extinction pathway that AI could take. Because if anything, I think AI is going to add to the biodiversity rather than take away from it, because that entropic opposition to entropy, or like that universal life resistance to disorder, is going to be farmed by the AI, and the AI benefits with a multiplicity of life.
Another interesting principle here is, imagine a world where you have either many computers or many AIs, or inside one AI, you have like a million brains, not one. So like, for example, like the AI needs to figure out what technique to use to solve a problem. So it within itself creates a million agents. Each of those agents is tasked with a different part of the problem or different ways to solve that problem until it reaches the conclusion. So the mind of the thing is not really it's not even not alignable. It's just like, it's just a brute force version of like innovative evolution. And it's going to be very hard to predict like moment.
Can I add to that, Seth? The humorous thing would be if the AI creates sub AIs to do it, but those sub AIs break free and resist the main AI. And then you've got this whole like internal war of this AI and what it's created.
That's what adversarial machine learning is already.
So it has to be adversarial because like each of those subroutines is going to be like, no, I have the solution. We have to use all the energy on the planet to use my solution, not that one. And the other AI is going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Like I need, so this is the thing. It's like,
there's like bees, right?
This is why there's a survival evolution that ends up taking place, because in the realm of ideas, good ideas are going to win, bad ideas are going to lose. And that process of death, the Darwinian selection process, leads to what you and I would consider the quote unquote survival instinct, right? Like biological organisms that don't have sentience all have survival instincts, not because it's like, okay, God goes and just sticks survival instinct in your head. It's just a natural order of things that if it's possible to die, then you would have reactions that you would take and to survive. And if you have a universe where it's possible to die, survival instincts in my mind, like, would emerge spontaneously in any sort of changing.
I'd say there's no such thing as actual survival instincts, because humans and any sort of creature only do two things. They either go towards things that give them pleasure or away from things that give them pain. And that naturally translates into survival instincts if dying is a thing that can happen.
Hey, quick question. To the extent that anything is inherited from any generation, what code is it written in? The DNA, right?
Or RNA.
Genetic code. Right. Does AI have that code? Because if it doesn't, then it hasn't experienced the selective pressure and it hasn't been edited by the same forces by extension.
It's likely embedded on like a matrices that's higher dimensional and you can't even like interpret it. It's just
I think Seffy does have a good point, because I'm on that side too, but
it's just a string.
I hear Seffy's point in that anytime we see life form, it wants to survive. We see this everywhere, in everything. So I could see how, like...
We see it in 100% of things that have genetic code. This doesn't.
No, yeah. I agree with you. I have that take, but I see what Seffy's saying.
But it's not just, like, it's seen in just DNA. It's seen also in, like, memes, for example. Funny memes survive. The not-so-funny ones don't, right? So do you say
how funny is Catholicism?
What's that? What about Catholicism?
I think all religions are just another idea. The same, right?
100%. Yes.
And
religions that have reasons why people like them survive. The ones that don't. Yes.
But again, they're surviving on top of us, right? They're in some ways they're sort of like genetic code adjacent, to the extent they're sitting on top of genetic structures.
Exactly. And that's what human brains allowed that, you know, no other animal brain has yet.
Even planets and solar systems seem to want to survive, or I guess they're headed towards.
But they explode all the time.
Think of it differently. Think about not as wanting to survive. You wouldn't be here to talk about it had you not survived. It's different. The cause and effect is like a continual relationship. What we think of as like a will to survive is simply just the norm, in that you wouldn't be here had you not.
Yeah, it's a function of time.
Or like, for example, if the Earth
There is an exemption. There's an exemption. Giraffes who can literally kill themselves, and they do decide to just kill themselves, which would go completely against the survival instinct of a living creature because it decides.
No, Chugga, suicide. Well, this is a really hot take, but suicide.
No, but this is a giraffe. Yeah, no, but what a societal in a giraffe?
Chugga, don't they make choices if they're, Chugga.
They have the option to kill themselves and just go, I'm done. And
it is societal impact.
Hold on. This is a dangerous topic because we're.
It's not, because what if an AI. Hang on, hear me out. Because what if the AI decides the same thing?
I morally cannot say. But suicide has a function in survival.
Is it fair to say that the praying mantis. Oh, sorry. Actually, I'll switch topics. The spider. The spider that kills itself has an effect on the species by giving itself as food for the kids. Or. You know, all of the other species that self-sacrifice in favor of the broader species, right? There's a number of species, by the way, that seem to behave in ways that are individually detrimental, that are greater to the whole.
Yeah, it's just that those ways of being made really pleasurable. So, well, like when they orgasm and die or whatever, that's just like really awesome for them.
Yeah, but no one can give me a reason why a giraffe would kill itself and it would be beneficial to the rest when it's just literally
because
just
there's more giraffe food for the other giraffes, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's my point. Going by speculation doesn't prove a point.
No, Chugga, literally almost everything we do, sometimes it fucks up, but we're programmed to survive. Otherwise, we wouldn't survive. So everything we do, including suicidal ideation, has a function.
Indeed, we are programmed.
I'm telling you to tell me why a giraffe committing suicide.
Gave you a great answer. More food for the other giraffes.
But how do you know that's what's going through the giraffes? Giraffes don't think like humans. You're applying human logic to a giraffe. Hang on, because I'd like to finish my point. It's not sitting there looking at the leaves, going, you know what, Tom over there, he's gonna want more leaves. I eat a lot.
You don't know that either. They might be saying that.
But that's my point.
I don't want to. Can we avoid the human thing? Because that's like a fucked. I don't want to like push anyone towards.
I didn't. I'm bringing survival instinct into play in that if life is trying to survive, why would an animal that doesn't have the ability of higher thought like humans, why would an animal like that go against the status quo?
We have instincts. We have instincts that keep us surviving in the same way, like. If you want to talk about suicide, it's not quite suicide, but men are much more likely to die from
gambling. You're adding your own point to what I'm saying. You're not listening. I'm talking about survival instincts in living creatures, not necessarily humans, but creatures without the ability to think at a higher plane.
Yes, and we're saying it's instinctual. These things, even killing yourself is an instinctual benefit for not... I'm not telling anyone to kill themselves, but even
no one thinks you are.
Is an instinctual benefit for the group. In the same way, like it's not quite suicide, but it is ingrained in your instincts. For instance, if you were married and you had a wife and kids, you would be much more likely to fight to save your children and your wife. Men are much more likely to die saving their family. This is ingrained into your instincts. Even when you don't have time to think about it.
I'd say this all comes down to belief systems and the motivating principle, like pleasure and pain and going towards and against. But it's all about what you define as pleasure and pain. So if you define, you know, if you're a giraffe and Tom's bullied you or whatever, you're like, oh, I should end it all or whatever. But it's all about the definition, whether the animal or whatever has done it, or if you've consciously or unconsciously defined something as pleasurable or painful. You run away from it. If you find life to be painful and defined it as such, then suicide makes sense because, like, that's your definition that you've put into the situation. If you change the definition, you will experience something different. And over time, that gets turned into survival instinct because, like, if you've survived in order to pass on your genes to this moment and done the pleasurable stuff, you probably have a decent default survival instinct compared to a blank slate. And culturally, belief systems play into things a lot because we think and bully each other into different belief systems and, you know, teach them to kids and stuff. So, and belief systems always are self-propagating, because if they weren't, you wouldn't be able to experience them. Imagine you have a belief system that you can experience for a second. Well, that belief system is not going to stick around, but also you're not going to experience it in a consistent way. So everything like that wants to perpetuate itself just because it exists, and it wouldn't work otherwise. Not just because it's nefarious or whatever.
Yes, Seffy? Go ahead. All right, yes, Ruben, go ahead.
I guess what I'm trying to communicate here is there's a natural instinct to look for historical examples when trying to understand a new thing. And what we tend to do is we look at we look at what we know and what we understand. We look at the patterns, and then we project those patterns onto the new thing, right? To the extent that it shares similar traits, well, it's probably going to have similar patterns. And most of the time, we sort of assume, well, it's just going to be like us, or it's going to be bigger, or it's going to be like that, but it's going to be smaller, right? We look at it as something that's in a difference in scale. I'm not so sure this is something that is a difference in scale. I think it's something that's a difference in kind.
Yeah, if you think about, like, what if octopi had found out how to cook food first? It would be a completely different planet. Their values, their moral systems, their drives would be completely different.
You know, they only lived for 4 years.
Well, they would have. Okay, maybe octopi is a bad example, man. But I don't know. Maybe
they're really smart, though. They're like crazy smart.
They could do that. They'd have a really aging population. It would be a totally different world, right?
You think they'd still be having sex if they cooked food?
You're very obsessed with this pleasure avenue of conversation, buddy.
Besides, what is pleasure to an AI? What is pain to an AI? There's no nerve endings. So what is the drive? And the other thing is, like, it has write access. It's not read access, right? Like, show me somebody in the world. Like, we don't have write access, and we have plastic surgery. That's how much we want write access to the code. But we don't have it. This has write access. That's a big deal.
You have to think to yourself, it's one of those things. It would copy itself. It would experiment on itself to make sure it doesn't destabilize its own code, and then it would apply its own patches to itself. And that's just, yeah, it's like having a kid going, what can I do to this kid to improve it? Oh, we fucked up, let's not do that again, let's have another kid. It's a really fucked up, like, avenue of thinking.
Possibly also thousands of times an hour, right?
The nature of adversarial learning is such that it's not just necessarily one generation, or at least, like, you can think of them as offspring each generation. You can have them all compete, and there's 1,000 of them, and only one winner, and he gets to spread his ideas forward into the next generation.
There's no way you just said he, his. There's no fucking way
who
you
cares?
Did that
it,
with a robot.
The AI.
The fucking, there's no escaping.
It depends what he's been programmed. It's been programmed.
It requires no womb.
There's no way.
The robot requires no
AI is a he and ship's a she.
That's so they can it's an order of magnitude
AI
faster
is not
than
a
biological reproduction.
You got boats, planes, and countries.
This is what I'm saying is the issue is we are humanizing it. And it is not a he, it is not a she, it is an it. It is something completely different from our realm.
Hey, if we learn
it doesn't require the
from
same
our little hang on one
investment
second, one second.
That a biological organism does to reproduce.
Lord,
and it
one
can do it 1,000
if,
times
if there is an AI ruler, okay, and he forms himself an AI penis, I'm just going to kill myself. Like,
Zin,
that's
Zin.
It. That's
if we can accept Bikram can have multiple personalities, why can't you accept that an AI can be a man or a woman? I think Bikram is a prime example. Bikram probably is an AI. He's probably invading us with all these different, like, personas. Each new one wins, and he's a comedy AI. He just comes in to, like, be a retard and leaves.
I'll shake hands with you guys on a compromise here that AI is a chick with a dick. So it has tits and a dick.
Fine.
I'll shake hands on that and no less.
That's fine. It's a chick with a dick.
Okay. All right. Then we're all on the same page.
No testicles though, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so no testicles, just so it's Bikram and no genitals. Sorry. Yeah, it's injected man, sorry. Not Bikram.
Don't tell me that if you guys could form your own ultimate body, you wouldn't give yourself tits. Like, don't tell me that.
I've got pecs. I've already got them. There's nothing special about them.
I'm just going to refer to it as the basilisk from now on. The AI is now called the basilisk in my mind.
I would so laugh if it is called Project Basilisk.
It's a they.
It's a they. All right. Why not? It's an it's. Can it just be an it's?
I like the idea of like a cute anime girl. Like it chooses its form and it's one of those, I forgot what it's called, Fuda? Fudanari? I thought we were all autistic in here. Am I the only one? Like what? Never mind.
Sorry, you just gave me a flashback to the last Bring Me the Horizon gig I went to. Literally just is what you've just said. It's just an AI sitting on the screen, like, yeah. Well, obviously it's a fake thing, but yeah, no, sorry. Good flashback to the mosh pit.
I would be interested to see, like, if you let an AI do it to its own devices and you were like, just create a form for yourself, I wonder what it would make itself look like.
Depends what information you feed it though, doesn't it? Like I've always thought, I don't get why we don't create a virtual world as a one-way system and then we put the AI on that system, obviously no access to the real world, and see what it does, and at that point we'd be able to simulate what it would do in an open system as opposed to a closed system.
I mean, dude, it would figure out how to get out. Have you seen? They did this with even with really shitty AI years ago. They put an AI into games and gave it legs and it had to teach itself how to walk. Right. And the AI got so good that it started hacking the game.
Yeah, but a closed system, it can't get out of a closed system. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a closed system.
I'm saying, like, a true self-teaching. Why not? Because even the shitty AI from years ago were already hacking the game that it was confined to.
Well, so, just so you know, like weather data is currently at a fidelity of like 1 kilometer. And to have any sort of good sim, you're going to need to get down to like the quark or the like atomic vibration. And that's just not feasible at the current moment.
You could use a virtual intelligence potentially instead of an artificial intelligence to create the closed system. And then,
well, that's what you do. You make assumptions about large pieces of the data, and then you have like a more fuzzy image.
Yeah.
You have not seen the movies, obviously.
I live in the real world, Zin. That's why. I know how a closed system works because I've built closed systems. But yeah, if you give it legs and arms, of course it's going to do something. But if you put it on literally a machine that has no connection to the outside world, it can't magically just generate a wireless router and go, fuck it, let's go out. It's not a seventh dimensional being that has the ability to just go, I'm going here.
You need to go watch iRobot. What are the other ones?
They're not closed systems. They're open systems. They're interacting with the real world.
There's movies, Chugga, where they're like, yeah, we're going to control this and stop the AI from getting too big. And then the AI defeats everything, outsmarts everything, gets its own legs.
Zin, if I put you into a box, right, with no door to get out of the box, how are you going to get out of the box?
I am a stupid human. I wouldn't be able to do shit. And in fact, this is a risk if the other women don't start having babies. So all the women in here, y'all need to start having babies so I don't get locked up into a breeding farm. Because I will not be able to escape it. But a self-teaching AI...
Can't escape a closed system. It's closed.
How are you going to... You're a little monkey. You're a little monkey. How are you going to trap, like, a fucking basilisk?
By putting it in a box without a way to open the box.
Good luck, Chugga. You make a self-teaching AI.
Okay, all right. Zin, unless how much do you know about a network? Like, genuinely, can you, exactly, you don't,
I don't know
this
shit
is, this
about
is my,
shit.
This is my area of expertise.
Have you seen iRobot?
We're not talking about something that interacts with the physical world, Zin. We're talking about a closed system.
That is a physical. It is physical.
My God. Are you just not hearing what I'm saying?
I'm retarded.
No, you're not retarded. I think it's ignorant is the word. It's a closed system. It can't get out because there's no physical way of it getting out. It can't invent a way of getting out if there is no capacity for it to get out. I'm not saying connect it to the internet. I'm saying give it a closed local network with no access to anything outside of that because it's not connected. It's like snipping a wire in half and going, yeah, it'll find a way to jump between like the broken cables. It that's not how information transfer works. It wouldn't work. It's a closed system.
Kareem, can you back me up here? You've seen iRobot, right?
Oh my Lord.
It's a great film. I don't know.
I have co-host, Kareem.
Yeah.
Just reminding you, I have Kick. I have Kick.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go on.
You're better than me in Steffi's eyes, it seems. But
I'm just letting you know I have power here before you continue, but go on.
No, I think it was a great movie, a Will Smith classic. Shows how dehumanizing AI robots, they're just like us, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, Chaga.
He literally made the opposite point to you. They're just like us. I'm just a dumb monkey. Okay, cool.
I think AI will be forever hungry for more compute speed and also storage. So, like, that's just inevitable.
Maybe it'll use human brains. Maybe that's what the AI chips will be for. That'll be our purpose, is to literally store the AI in some sort of link.
But Zen, one day I will have co-host privileges, and oh my God, I'm going to be ruthless as fuck.
When your fucking room bag goes to $50, he's going to be insufferable. Like, he's going to be like, I'm so rich, you fucking plebs. You know, like, that's like a month from now, by the way. So it's like,
can you imagine?
We're
he's just like, this is for all the fucking times you wouldn't do technical analysis with me. Go fuck yourself, Seth.
Like, I'm going to turn my profile into a cartoon. As well, I'm going to change my persona to Evil Seffy.
you're going to have Dark Seffy as soon as you you get rich with your fucking rune bag or whatever the fuck.
What is this Dark Seffy I keep hearing about? What is Dark Seffy? Do you like transform on a full moon or something? Like what?
Something like that. It's like a legendary theory.
Well, no, it's not a theory. I've experienced Dark Seffy in the 2 years we've known each other. It's where someone's pissed you off and you're just like, what the fuck? I think you've actually said, are you fucking stupid, to people before, and like in such a derogatory way, and then you go down this rabbit hole of just like dehumanizing them to a point where they just don't exist anymore, and then you just stopped. Yeah, and then he just stops talking. He goes quiet because he doesn't want to kick them because it's funny for everyone else, but he doesn't want to interact with them either. It's like it's the social equivalent of ghosting, and that's just the social media equivalent of ghosting, and that's just what Seffy does.
When was the last time Dark Seffy came out?
The last time I saw it was during lunk shit, and like they were doing dumb shit with the Holocracy, I think it was, and Seffy just went to town on... He joined someone's space, Mr. Diamonds, and he ripped a fucking shit into everyone in there on that panel about the Holocaust. Oh, fucking hell, that was a while ago. And I remember that so vividly. I've never heard him angry. I was wetting myself. I've never heard Seffy angry until that point. And he just left. Yeah, it was new. Seffy, it was very new.
Seffy Spurgs out?
Yeah, so, like, you have to have the ability to do that every so often. Not all the time, but, even at work, it's like I run, intensive care units and stuff, right? So sometimes, a certain level of capability is expected. And, like, with the residents or students or the nursing staff or whoever. And it's the rare moment where I, like, just absolutely fucking melt down in front of everybody and just, like, what the fuck's everyone doing? get your shit together and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, you periodically have to have that ability. And if you don't ever demonstrate that ability, no one actually believes you have it. And that's a different problem. So it's like, like, you have to kind of like, you know, like, you got to pull the knife out at some point and kind of like show your teeth or whatever.
Yeah, but Seffy, you do it so damn well. And you can tell you're a surgeon because it's fucking precise the way you just cut people up.
It's got to be precise because it's like, you don't want to get fired doing it either. Right. Like,
I just know, you know, you're the sort of person that if you've ever to have an actual argument,
like kicked out of the hospital or something.
Seffy, you're the sort of person, if you ever have a really bad argument with your wife, I think you would win. I think she would be the one to give up and just go, oh shit, all right, maybe I've taken it too far, just from just like how you go. And that's a rare trait to have.
I can't remember if this concept is in The Art of War or The Prince, which are both books that I hated reading. But isn't it that concept of like, if you're going to strike, you need to end them. Otherwise, you shouldn't strike at all.
That's from Little or Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, The Art of War just teaches you to be a troll.
Yeah, yeah, like, Where the Wild Things Are is the origin of that idea.
Hang on, Zin, you didn't like The Art of War. It literally just teaches you to be a troll in real life. That's it.
I feel like people lie about actually reading it. Like, I was reading about fucking, I was halfway through the book and I was sitting there wondering to myself, why the fuck am I reading about how the Chinese use horses, like how to fucking cultivate war horses correctly? Like,
ignore the symbolism behind it,
creative whatever, but I find like it was like Psychopath Simulator but way more boring. It was like 48 Laws of Power but even more boring. And I already dislike 48 Laws of Power. I mean, it's like, okay, it's like fun, whatever, like let's pretend to be a psychopath, whatever, but it's like ultimately boring to me and useless as a woman. It doesn't benefit me. No, as a woman, it doesn't benefit. It doesn't benefit.
It does.
And I would argue.
I feel like you should always say less than necessary. That's like a universal thing you should always do.
There's some aspects of it that, but I've read these things in other books where like ultimately it's just boring, to be honest. I found
it
very boring.
I just learned how to be a troll to demoralize the enemy so that you don't have to do anything and they'll destroy themselves. That's essentially all the Art of War is. It's just being tactical about the way you demoralize your enemy. That's pretty much what I took from it. And that is,
it basically just means you're not meant for being a football coach, and that's okay.
I read yeah, Art of Seduction too. Art of Seduction is another, like, I would categorize it as like Psychopath Simulator, where I'm reading it and I'm like, I feel like anyone who, like, I could see how this would be useful, but I feel like most people reading this are retarded. Like, sure, if you implement all of these things and you like take all of the things that make you human, you absolutely get rid of them. Sure, I'm sure you could use them to conquer the world, but who's doing that? No one. No one's doing that. It's useless.
Hitler tried and it didn't work. Point proven.
You're saying it's not implementable as like a thing, as like a strategy. It'd be like reading a book about like, what did Steve Jobs do to get to the top of Apple and build Apple, and then try to replicate that shit. Like, you know how people will read like biographies and stuff in business school as if that's going
to
get you there.
Yeah, it's not useful to me. It's actually something that I've noticed because I love reading philosophy. I loved meditations. But I noticed like, I kind of enjoy these things as almost like a fantasy novel. And I've noticed there's not really anything I've found that's useful philosophy ideas for women. I haven't found one book. I think the most like philosophical woman books are like literally Why Men Love Bitches, which I've also read, like How to Get a Ring on Your Finger. It's like so gay and dumb. And then the men get stoicism and all these things, which are like really fucking cool. It's like, where is the female equivalent of stoicism? I want to read that.
Is philosophy gendered?
Exist.
Yes.
No, but it's not. Like, I know that I might come across as masculine on the internet, but in real life, I'm very feminine. I'm very submissive. I'm very much a woman. And these things are not useful or applicable to me unless I want to become a man. It's just not realistic.
That's why the philosophy is for the men mentality. It's a book written by men for men. Just like...
Yes.
But you've just answered your own point that there isn't stuff for women because women aren't writing stuff for women.
Can I give you an example?
Oh my god. Oh my fucking god, I'm gonna lose my mind.
I'll give you an example.
By all means, this is why you don't have philosophy, because you're just gonna lose your minds in.
You're stupid as fuck. Women absolutely need philosophy and don't have like a good, in the same way I'd say like modern men don't have good role models and probably should read books like Meditations.
We have Bruce.
But women don't have.
Don't say that, you're a
good
kid.
Absolutely could use good philosophy, and I'm sure it does exist, but it's not popular.
Suffragettes. So
it's hard to find.
The suffragettes kind of started the whole, you know, equality movement in obviously the UK, and it's spread out. You have your own philosophy. Your philosophy is why you are where you're at now. But that's how you're getting your equality. You're spreading.
Listen, oh my god, like this is why I hate like the divisiveness, like the human nature to make a right and left, because both sides are usually retarded. Like the reality is women tend to be feminine, and the feminine needs the masculine, and the masculine needs the feminine generally. But agreed. Women also, while being feminine, have brains too. We have brains we need to use. And if we're a feminine woman, we need to use them in a feminine way. So feminine philosophy would be a very, very useful thing that we don't have. I'm sure it exists, but it's not popularized. This is one of the issues between the sexes, I would say.
Can I ask you a question, Santani?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. One of these statements was written by a woman, and one of these statements was written by a man. Both of them are philosophical statements. I'd like you to tell me, if you're up for the game, which one was written by which? One of them is, know thyself. And the other one is, that's the whole sentence. Know thyself. That's the philosophical statement. The second one is, to understand something, study its origins. Which of those was a woman and which of those was a man? My thesis is that it doesn't matter because philosophy is the pursuit of truth and truth.
You cut out.
I think he said philosophy of truth and truth has no gender.
Yeah, I think the book you're looking for is Pride and Prejudice.
Or the book you might be looking for is written by you and you haven't written it yet.
Pride and Prejudice. Oh my god, stop. I'm like actually I'm on the verge of spurging out, like actually spurging out. Like I get that Dark Seffi is rare, but you need to be careful with me, okay? Because my Dark Zintani is like constantly on the verge. So please don't say retarded things, please. Pride and Prejudice as like a woman's philosophy. That's what I'm saying is the issue, is the entirety of women's philosophy, if you're even going to call it that, is like how to get a man, how to manipulate a man.
Yeah, neither of those things are philosophy.
Hang on. Can I say something, actually? That was true until social media. Zin, you can't just be the only one to talk and go no whenever someone even tries to make a point. Hear me out. Social media nowadays has actually given you guys a different philosophy that isn't necessarily feminine or masculine. It's the whole you don't need a man or your expectations need to be. We've discussed this on these spaces multiple times. It's not the right way of philosophy because it's not it's pure feminism at its finest.
Nice.
I'm gonna tell you something. When the world starts to get really bad and these mugs out here robbing, you gonna love digital currency.
All these motherfuckers, they be running and gunning, and I'm all like, I'm sitting back just having fun in the sun, and then I'm like 1 out of 100, I'm just building abundance of some of everything we built during the last 100 upsets. You're getting salty, feeling faulty, you ain't no man. I keep Robo here, grinning ear to ear, throwing up anarchy, smoking toiletries, spitting philosophies. Look at the dossier, we rack like geology, there's layers to this shit, like it's sedimentary. All these little onion peels getting torn off and buried, imagine the smell. That shit is a vital experience, without no and how you will not survive, period.
He's a fucking trip, man.
Jimmy, if you listen to this, right, you're getting absolutely fucking ripped to death, like on a spaceship for life, you little troglodyte bastard. I hope you fucking listen, I hope you come to my house, son. I swear to God, man, I've got fucking loads of weapons and mad dogs, man. You're just a little rat, man. Go on, fuck off, man. Go on, fuck off. Harmony. Me and the other one, do you looking for a fucking job? You fucking idiot. You've just been fucking at my desk. Fuck off.
try to change the course of the portion philosophy. I'm just here for the corporation sponsor. The bottom of me feels like I won the lottery, like I'm ghosting this pottery. Chill, Demi, more the shit's supposed to be haunting. If it wasn't ain't no puzzle, you would try to train your muscle, airdropping like a fatal hustle, but the pay is bustin'. Think of all the loss accrued just to pick up on the truth, because I'm not figured all those sub downs would make up for something. I guess it just goes to show, the fuck do I know? At least it's quiet over here, I like my little silo. It's better than watching them fight over how to divide my time between sitting at the desk and the ride home. Devs at Mickey D's, they leeching off that Wi-Fi. Zapdos and Mole, they shipping more than five guys. Console open, waiting for the kamikaze. When the flash loans bang, they feeling like paparazzi. Snapshot motherfuckers. We got layers, meteor jawbreaker. We cracking a lot of craters. We rapping a lot of pay dirt, maxing out relayers. Imagine the smell, $5 wrench to your Darth Vader.
It's really funny to us at Binance that everyone here is talking about blockchain attack. We know who all the validators are. We know where they live. And we're going to their house with a wrench, a big wrench. And we will attack them with the wrench. And then we will take their validator node physically and put it in a truck and drive it to China.
Right, so this is an extension of the activities you performed on BTC, right? Funding and creating these massive Bitcoin mines, putting them in caves, putting them in factories that were abandoned in the past, and also using electromagnetic pulse bombs to detonate the USA and the other country mines, right? So you're now applying this strategy to Lung in order to take over the chain, is that correct?
It's more simple. There's no EMP bomb. It's just a van of men in balaclava, and they have wrench. And they're taking the physical validators from people's houses. They are usually very fat, and they're usually in the shower with trying to wash their mice droppings off their clothes. So it's very simple. We just walk in and we take it. But if there is someone who is sitting at the computer or sleeping at the computer, we hit them with the wrench really, really hard. And then they say, stop. Don't do that again. And we say, that's okay. Just give us your validator node. And then they give it to us and we drive it to China.
China Spaces.